The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What's up, Frime Lom?
Who are you?
Captain Beefy. Jorm Lom. Hey, OG Bonla forever.
So why are you here?
The home office in Grand Rapids sent me down to get you off the tower. It's affecting the morning show. You being here, the morning guys can't do their thing. The Nutty Bunch, Larry and Eric.
So wait a minute.
Can you get me a regular gig?
What?
It's a joke, for God's sake.
Okay, let's start this again, okay? Who are you?
George Lowe.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Tramble, the Radio Labyrinth subsidiary podcast. It's audio only and available only on your famed and favorite podcatcher. It is a sad day for me and for people that I know in the radio industry, and I'm certain for people that I know in the animation and Adult Swim world. One of my favorite people that I met when I moved to Atlanta, and throughout the years, sort of knew, weren't close friends, but we were on a texting basis. But I always loved this guy. George Lowe, the voice of Space Ghost from Space Ghost Coast to Coast and The Brack Show and Dad. He was Dad. And countless other things has passed away. Born on November 10th, 1957. He passed away 2 days ago on March 2nd. At the age of 67. He had been having health problems for a number of years. Last year, we were talking and trying to set up an interview. He was going to be in town for Dragon Con. And I think the last couple of years, he was coming to Dragon Con. I always tried to set something up, but for some reason or another, usually health-related, he didn't quite make it. And I haven't really spoken to him in years. A couple of years, not years. But anytime he was at Dragon Con and I was down there, I would go to the Walk of Fame and chat him up for a little while and talk about the old days. The first time I met George was in the late 90s, and it's either 98 or 99. There was a radio company. This was toward the end of the great consolidation movement of the 90s, when radio companies, with the Justice Department and the FCC, the Clinton Justice Department and the Clinton FCC, allowed radio companies to just devour each other and build up massive amounts of debt, gobble each other up, and create gigantic corporations. This was that decade of the 90s that started happening, especially in the late 90s and continuing throughout the 2000s. But radio companies like, well, there was J-Core, there was Clear Channel, there was Chancellor, there was AM-FM, there was Evergreen. Well, a new company called Chancellor had formed, and I forget the name of the people that ran these companies. There was a big dude, and I only knew his name because back in the early 90s, Stern had a problem with him and said some horrible things about him during the great radio wars of the early 90s. But I worked for a company called IQ Television Group from 1997 till August of 2000. And my job, was to sell and produce television commercials for radio stations, whether they be customized, the program director and the marketing director of the radio station came up with it, and they executed it, and the owner of the company would be the director, and then we'd do all these. I mean, it was a full-service ad agency, and we just created television commercials. There was also longer form, direct mail VHS and eventually CD-ROMs and DVDs by the time I left, I'm sure. But these direct mail VHS tapes, which would come into your mail in a market, say, like Charlotte or Chicago or in any number of large to medium-sized markets. And, I did a lot of commercials, and I've told this story before. I did a couple of commercials for 96 Rock, and the last one I did, I sat with the program director, Tim Dukes, already a fan of the Regular Guys show, by the way, and I ended up becoming the promotions director for 96 Rock, where I worked for 4 years, getting to know Larry and Eric and then the recurring guests. So back in the early 2000s, that would have been, you know, all the comedians that came through a couple times a year, whether they be at the Punchline or the Funny Farm and later on the Laughing Skull Lounge. And local people like George Lowe, who eventually became the voice of the Regular Guys. Now, George was on 99X back in its heyday, and I imagine Power 99 before it became 99X. There's a whole history, and you can go find it out. I don't know it verbatim. So let's back up to when this company Chancellor was formed, and my boss was tasked to write, produce, and shoot, and edit a long-form video for this Chancellor Broadcasting. And the part of it that I was really involved with was finding voiceover talent for it. So I said to my boss, well, why don't we get Space Ghost? He's in Atlanta. And my boss goes, oh, Gary Owens, I know him. I know Gary Owens. He's the real Space Ghost. I said, yes, but he's not funny. I said, George Lowe is the modern Space Ghost. He's funny, and he's also local. He's Captain Value Jed. You know, you got to know who George Lowe is. He's, you know, Space Ghost Coast to Coast, which he didn't watch, my boss. And so he came in, and they met, and they hired George to narrate this long thing. And I got to go down there during the VO and direct. So here I am. I'm 28 years old. I've never directed talent before. Certainly not in a voiceover situation. You know, I'm fresh out of working at Fuddruckers and Bob Evans, my professional career prior to this, having been food, full of nerves, full of a lack of confidence, full of disbelief in my abilities to do things. And here I am with this guy that, you know, I instantly fell in love with, you know, a couple of years before when I saw Space Ghost Coast to Coast on television. And I'm like, oh, my God, this cartoon that I couldn't stand when I was a little kid. This is a different guy and he's doing the voice and it's a talk show. And this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. The Gen X comedy generation just kicking everybody out of the way. And, you know, Matt Malero, Dave Willis, all the guys that were involved in creating or writing for Space Ghost, going on to do Baffler Meal, which was, of course, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and on and on and on and on and on. That all began in the early 90s, mid-90s, whatever. But I'm looking at George in awe and telling him, hey, could you do that again? And I had no confidence. Hey, George, could you do that again? I'm like a director who never directed a film. So he humored me. And my favorite part of that whole thing is, you know, of course, we had craft services there and I took a bite of the muffin and he just stopped that he was doing it, hit the little button. He went, hey, Tim, can you get the whole muffin in your mouth? Why don't you try? And that made me laugh so hard. And then we just started talking and talking and talking and ended up being a fun day. Fast forward a couple of years later, I, you know, tell him the story about meeting and, you know, I don't think he really remembered me all that much. But as he came on the Regular Guys show and he did these cool things with Tim Frazier, who was the producer, Virgin Murray. They produced a pilot that somewhere I have a copy of called either Lunch with George or Dinner with George, where you'd go have barbecue and sit down and talk to George Lowe. This was an ingenious idea that Tim Frazier came up with. And this was long before these. If YouTube had existed when he came up with this idea, it would have been a very popular and successful YouTube show. I have no doubt about that. But George would come out to our special events and judge, and it was always a joke. Well, he had to get a ride. He couldn't drive a car, or his car was a beater. He had to ask mom. He was just a character. And so much as I know him, I'm sure that there are going to be people talking about him who knew him really, really well. But, you know, I've been in radio a very long time. It was the only thing I ever wanted to do, and I'm still doing it, and I love that fact. And so that sort of, you know, makes me very happy. And I have been able to do some voiceover work on some television shows, some animated shows that I absolutely love and will always love and continue to rewatch, namely Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Squidbillies. And, you know, Dave Willis, involved with both of those shows. Matt Malero, of course, with Aqua Teen Hunger Force and all sorts of other things. I
I'm very sad about George passing, but I'm also very happy that I was able to meet and know George to a degree, whatever degree it was, to be able to text him and say, hey, how you doing? I was thinking of you. And hey, Tim, it was nice to hear from you. Timmy, you know, hey, Timmy, it's nice to hear from you. I hope you're doing well. But that being the extent of it, and to be somewhat in the orbit of that world, you know, I think about it and I'm just amazed that I was able to be a part of something like that. And that, you know, I'm no successful voiceover person. And I imagine that 99.9% of that is because I'm lazy and don't ever try. Not the confidence anymore. You know, it only took me 40 years to be able to have a little confidence in that area. But laziness, that's harder to overcome for me. And then you add into the fact that for the past 4 years, you know, we have a child. And that's also a contributing factor to my laziness, because it's not inhibiting me from doing anything. It's just an excuse. So all that aside, George is just, you know, it's weird to say in your 50s that you have heroes. Or you would think that your heroes are people you grew up with when you were a kid. But George is a hero to me. A lot of people like George are a hero to me. Phil Hendry, the radio broadcaster, now podcaster and character voice person, probably the best character voice person I've ever seen or heard, because he can do 1,000 characters, himself being a character, all having a conversation. If you don't know who he is, go Google him right now and get addicted to him, because there's 100,000 hours of comedy waiting for you. Yeah, maybe that's a little too much, but tens of thousands of hours waiting for you to discover if you've never heard of him. And even if you heard him on the radio and you missed him, even his podcast now, where he's not tricking people, the gullible audience, it's very enjoyable to listen to. And if you're not familiar with George, go watch those old Space Ghost Coast to Coast episodes with the interviews with Willie Nelson and Pauly Shore, and you name it. Right there at the crux of the talk show wars, doing their own thing and being very, very funny. And celebrate his career. If you were a fan, you know, don't let things like that slip away, because you have a generation that you can turn onto the things that you like. If you have kids, maybe they'll enjoy it. Or a friend who never saw any of these shows or any of the things that George ever did. Super talented, and may he rest in peace. And yes, I can get the whole muffin in my mouth, George. Oh, I'll just real quick. We did the pregnant bikini pageant one time at a bar called Luby's, which was in Lawrenceville, I believe. Now, the regular guys, pregnant bikini pageant, we did a couple of them. I was not yet on the air with them, but they knew me by then, and I was sort of a weird character. I had done the billboard with my shirt off. I was nice and chunky back then. And the photographs of Catherine Zeta-Jones smoking while pregnant on a balcony had come out earlier than that. So I went as Catherine Zeta-Jones, pregnant Catherine Zeta-Jones, drinking and smoking cigarettes all night. George was one of the judges, and we had so much fun. And so was Lucky Yates and, I believe, Emmanuel Lewis. So you had Webster, Space Ghost, and Lucky Yates. So those were fun times. And I never want to forget them. And someday when I find the photos, I'll share them. And I will be looking for that pilot that Tim Frazier did, because it was so amazing. This week marks the 50th anniversary of Jaws. Jaws. Do you remember Jaws? If you were a kid, I think it came out in 1975. I don't think. It just did. It came out in 1975. And I remember the commercials for it scared me. A lot of things scared me. But the trailers, the commercials for it. Then it was on TV. They started showing it on TV probably 76 or 77 or whatever. And I do remember watching it before I turned 10 years old and being so scared. And by the time I was 10 years old, I had seen Halloween. Halloween with the scary knife-wielding mask guy running around killing teenage girls and men and scaring the little kids. That was scary, but it wasn't as scary as Jaws. You see that fin come out of the water. And anytime I go to the beach, I'm not going in that water. I'm not going in that water because Jaws is out there. But opening up my brain and thinking back to the mid-70s, all the things that came out of Jaws, Mr. Jaws. Do you remember Mr. Jaws? Bobby Pickett? One of those novelty records that I liked. We're here on the beach, and I'm talking to Mr. Jaws and all that stuff. I'll play a little of it right here.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Now, that was Dickie Goodman. I couldn't quite remember the name, but it was Dickie Goodman, who did lots and lots of novelty records. Had a lot of hits with them. Another pop culture reference of Jaws, of course, was the Saturday Night Live's Land Shark sketches.
Telegram.
Oh, telegram, just a moment.
Always made me laugh when I was a kid. And then you have Dan Aykroyd as the sheriff. And John Belushi as Brody.
Oh, my God! You can't tell me this woman was killed by falling out of a tree!
Yeah, they're playing the characters from the Jaws movie. You've seen Jaws, right? Everybody's seen Jaws? If you haven't seen Jaws, then, you know, of course you need to watch it. Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider, Robert Shaw. Robert Shaw. Quint. Lorraine, Gary. And, of course, Murray Hamilton, who was the mayor of the town, and he wants those paint-happy bastards strung up. Go out and watch Jaws if you've never seen it. But I can't believe anybody had never seen it. Anyway, those Jaws, I read the book, I think, when I was 10 or 11, which also scared Peter Benchley's book, Jaws, which scared the hell out of me. Every other Jaws movie has not been scary, just the first one. Jaws 2, not scary. Jaws 3D, definitely not scary. But 50 years old, getting older. Anybody watch Saturday Night Live with Shane Gillis? Shane Gillis referencing somebody that I've been doing an impression of since 2008. On the radio, anyway, Shelby Foote. That was cool, but now I can't do it ever. No, I thought that immediately. Like, well, I can't do it ever again, but it's not like Shane Gillis is going to be running around doing Shelby Foote. So I'm still going to be doing Shelby Foote. I don't know where, when. I just like doing that voice and talking in the way that he talks. Oh, ha, 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 ha. I think that, was it the first Saturday Night Live since the 50th? With an opening monologue that sort of, to me, fell flat. I thought some of the jokes were funny. Some of them were a little bit cringe. By the way, there's not going to be an episode of Radio Labyrinth this week on YouTube or anywhere else because Dustin is moving and I don't think he'll have internet yet. And we're also doing some resetting with Radio Labyrinth. More on that anon soon. We've been talking about it and teasing it. We're going to have a completely different platform for Patreon users, different rewards, things that are actually a little bit more valuable than what we have right now, including your interaction and sharing our live, sharing the recording of our Patreon-only show live to certain members and fun stuff like that. So, keep your notifications on. And the regular Radio Labyrinth will be back on, let's see, what's this Sunday? Today's the 4th, which is Tuesday, 5th, 6th, 7th. The 16th. It'll be back on the 16th. Who watched Saturday Night Live last week? Shane Gillis was the host, and he did a monologue that was pretty funny, actually, but didn't get a lot of laughs on the show itself, unfortunately for him. course, this music is, how do you say this? Ashokan Farewell. Jay Unger's music from The Civil War, the PBS documentary that at one time I was quite obsessed with. In fact, I had it on VHS, and then I bought it on DVD, and I would watch it sort of like people watch The Sopranos. And it's funny to me, I always thought I was one of the rare people who found the late historian Shelby Foote to be quite funny, but apparently there are comedians out there who also find him to be quite amusing.
There's one historian, if you've ever seen it, he's the funniest guy in the whole thing. His name's Shelby Foote. All right, Shelby's this old Southern guy who's clearly cheering for the South.
All right, so they say he's clearly cheering for the South. I have watched that, and I've read Shelby Foote's three-volume series. It's quite a hefty the series about the Civil War. I've read that. I never got that impression. Now, I think he reveres the story of the Civil War. I think he reveres the soldiers, the tactics, the battles. He's very knowledgeable, but I don't think he was like, well, we should have had the Civil War, should have won, the South should have won, the slavery should have been. No, don't mix things up. Don't mix things up, Shane.
The entire documentary, anytime he's talking, he's like, oh, the South had some fine gentlemen.
And they did. And so did the North. Any war that you're fighting, there are quality people, whether they disagree with you or agree with you, it was a war. But the Civil War, quite memorably being Americans fighting each other, right?
You're like, all right, Shelby, take it easy. But all the other historians are at like library desks or in an office. Shelby's in his living room, and he's clearly freestyling. Everyone else is giving you facts and dates. Shelby's clearly just making up stories every time.
Again, I don't think he's making up stories. I don't believe that he's making up stories, Shane Gillis. I don't.
The camera cuts to him. He's like, well, now, after the Battle of Fredericksburg, a couple of the rebel soldiers, they got up on the ramparts and they started yelling down to the defeated federal.
They started yelling down at the defeated federal army, well, you guys come up here and we'll go behind a tree and we'll make sweet love to each other.
Of course, that didn't happen. That would be making things up. So it was very funny, but I haven't heard ever a comedian do a bit about Shelby Foote, and that's kind of cool. So I give Shane Gillis props for that. And, of course, it's a comedy premise. But I read online that people are saying he cribbed it, that he stole it from the I don't even like saying the name of this podcast, but I'm going to anyway. It's called Cumtown. They say that Nick Mullen did the Shelby Foote bit first and did it far darker. Well, I don't care what any of them have done or said. I've been doing this character since 2008. On the regular guy's show and on the Radio Labyrinth podcast, I take it to very dark places. And I've done some custom work for people, not necessarily through Cameo, but people have, hey, could you do Shelby Foote narrating? And I wrote this weird thing about a soldier, and I can't play it because it's certainly not apropos to the modern sensibilities. But Shelby Foote, I mean, just recently, two or three weeks ago, I did a Shelby Foote with Tim Text Impressions, where Shelby just sort of, during the late 1970s, a bunch of people were at Studio 54, and some of the gay people that were there, they were up in the balcony looking down and shaking their penises at other people. And, you know, the people down on the floor were looking up, and they were quite tickled at seeing these penises. And then there was Bigfoot, who at the time had been appearing on the hit television show, The $6 Million Man. Of course, that show was canceled, and then Bigfoot ended up, trying to freestyle, and he became, first of all, he shaved everything but his head, and he moved to New York City, and he got a little cocaine spoon that he wore on a silver necklace around his neck, and he would just go out there doling out that little white booger sugar to everybody. It's easy to do him. It's easy to do him. But he is not, I do not consider him to be a Southern sympathizer. And you can't be a Southern sympathizer. A, he's dead. But B, it's over, so how are you going to sympathize with it? It was way over before he was even born.
So, yeah, I mean, I used to listen to the Cumtown podcast quite a bit up there in heaven. And, you know, it tickled me that they called it Cumtown because could you imagine living in it? But that's what they used to call Fredericksburg. They called it Cumtown. And then Fredericksburg got flattened by one of the Miramac and the Monitor. They combined to form a Voltron-like device, and it came to life. And the people on top was Yankees, and the people on the bottom was Rebels. And they would just pass the food back and forth and talk about the Mission family. The ones that they cared about and their wives and stuff. And then they would play cards in the middle of the Voltron-like thing, the Merrimack and the Monitor, which trampled and destroyed everybody in Fredericksburg. And then they went over and they decided that they would start calling Gettysburg Cumtown. But Gettysburg didn't have a lot of cum in it, so they went down to a little town called Chambersburg, which Chambersburg, by the way, paid the ransom that the Southerners were asking for, I think, or maybe they brained it. I don't remember particularly, and I'm not going to look it up right now, but I do know that Gettysburg is where they ended up having the final battle and Pickett's charge. Well, Pickett ordered his men to drop trowel, and they all pulled out their wieners and they masturbated on all the cannonballs, and the cannonballs were covered with their semen, and they shot it into Gettysburg, and that's why it's called Cumtown. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't think that Shelby Foote is a bad guy. I also am saying that Shane Gillis is funny. And I also appreciate that in this day and age, in 2025, there's a comedian talking about Ken Burns' Civil War documentary, which is a very good documentary. And it is, he is right. There's no footage. There was no footage during the Civil War. So it's a lot of camera pans in and out on the still photos. And Morgan Freeman is also one of the narrators. And then you see Doris Kearns Goodwin, who is one of the best historians that still lives today. And it's just a fantastic documentary. Check it out if you've never seen it. And if you can handle seeing the Confederate flag on your television without losing your mind, you could always watch the Dukes of Hazzard, where they plastered the rebel flag on top of that Dodge Charger that they had there. And well, if it was a Dodge Charger, but not a lot of people know that Uncle Jesse was descended from Jefferson Davis. And in fact, they called him Uncle Jesse. Okay, I got to stop doing that. But it's easy to just ramble on to that shit. I hope Shane Gillis hears this. He won't. Shelby Foote, funny. Let's sit down together, drink some beers, and do some Shelby Foote.
Okay, that is ending this very good episode of Trambles. He's very my favorite, very, very, very funny podcast that is narrated by or performed by Justin Andrews. I never liked Bob Seger, but I do like this song. If I continue doing Volodymyr impression, I will not be able to perform later. So I will now say, I'm done doing it, huh?
Yeah, I'm done doing it. Hey, man, thanks for listening. Radio Labyrinth proper will be back. Let's see, today's the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. It'll be back on the 15th of March. The brand new episode that you can download, watch, stream, or just look at. And then we'll be back. Me, Jeff Dustin.
Kicking ass and taking names right here on Radio Labyrinth Radio. Okay, Bob Seger.
I like doing this. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for playing these songs. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Oh, by the way, I wanted to let you know one more thing before we go. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Giro. Proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Giro is the place to be this spring. The holiday season is over. Winter is almost over. So you can go out there and get some awesome craft beers. You can also eat the best gyros, the best pizza, the best hot subs, the best Greek and Italian specialties around out there in Conyers. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m., Saturdays from noon to 9, and they are closed on Sunday. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, so you can go out there and show everyone how smart you are. Also, by LDI Repro Printing. So if you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, then contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They've been in Athens since 2005, so 20th anniversary. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-3000. 9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thanks for listening to Trambles. Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.